have been done to you. Nothing that you've ever been through exceeds the price that Jesus paid. He was a man of sorrows, acquainted with our grief. He bore our illnesses, he bore our griefs, our sins on the cross. And whom the Son sets free is free indeed. If Jesus makes you free, you are really free. It's not some pop psychology. Somebody say amen. This is not positive thinking. Well, someone runs over your foot and you go, I don't believe that. You know, I don't believe that. I don't confess that. My foot is not broken right now. It's not that kind of thing. It's the reality of hundreds and hundreds of years of testimony of people who have found the reality of God's goodness through a personal relationship. There were eyewitnesses, but then there was the witness of history, centuries of believers who have found freedom through Jesus Christ that you could not find in other religions. There are so many religions in this world that do not set the heart free. There are a lot of religions in the world that have no grace, no forgiveness, no mercy, no transformation of the human spirit. But Christianity stands alone. Somebody say amen. We have a risen Savior, and we have the Holy Spirit who gives us a brand new life. Father, we ask for your help in this message today, Lord. We pray your blessing from heaven, Lord. As I have prepared, Lord, I just lay this before you. I believe this is an important word for the church today, Lord. And I ask you to strengthen me and help me with this message. In Jesus' name, somebody agree with me. In Jesus' name, amen. Today I'd like to speak to you about the heart of the kingdom of heaven, the heart of God's kingdom. We've been talking about the kingdom of God. How many of you are enjoying the kingdom series by Dr. Tony Evans? A lot of you have been taking that, and it's really good. I thank the hosts and teachers for helping us with that. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15, the heart of God's kingdom, the heart of God's kingdom. Hebrews 12:15, look after each other so that none of you fails to receive the grace of God. That's a command from the Lord. Look after each other so that none of you fails to receive the grace of God. It's sort of like the Marines, let no man be left behind. Or to put it in a modern, vernacular, you could say, I've got your back. Do you have my back? You have to have somebody in your life that's looking after you. And of all people, we Christians ought to be those kinds of people. And then Romans 15, this we won't have it on the screen because I have a paraphrase. This is found in Romans 15. We who are strong in faith should help the weak with their weaknesses and not please ourselves. Our goal must be to empower others to do what is right. Talked about mentoring. Mergina and Tommy talked about mentoring at the conference. Our goal must be to empower others to do what is right for them and to bring them into spiritual maturity. In the church, we have something that you could sort of equate to a buddy system. Everybody say a buddy system. We look out for each other. We're a family. We're supposed to help the weak. If you see somebody who's stumbling, somebody who's floundering in some way, or somebody who's acting immature, your reaction should not be, see, I knew that was going to happen to them. Or, you made your bed, now you sleep in it. Or this is what you deserve. Woo, come on now. We cover one another because of love. Love covers a multitude of sins. We lift up the weak. We support one another. We help each other. Those of you who are seasoned and mature, you put your arm around and you don't just give up on people. Come on, somebody say amen. We don't give up on each other because life is meant to be done in relationships. Relationships are God's idea. There was the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Adam and Eve, first family, right? Family all depends on relationship. Trinity was a relationship. Jesus had his 12 disciples. He called his disciples to be with him in what? A relationship. You are called into a relationship with Jesus Christ. The church is God's family on earth. Our purpose is to be a reflection of how God thinks and what God looks like and how God's family should act on the earth. We are to be an example to the world of what God's family looks like. People from all different backgrounds, not perfect people, but people who have at the center of their hearts the love of Jesus Christ. And the heart of the kingdom of God is love that expresses itself through relationships. I want to say that again. The heart of the kingdom of God is love. But not just love in isolation. It's love expressing itself in sacrifice. It's love expressing itself in patience. It's love in showing forgiveness and love in enduring and believing in somebody even when they don't believe in themselves. It's love that picks up somebody who's done something really stupid for the seventh time. Love, because we have a relationship with Jesus that he won't let go of us. He's put this quality of love in our hearts that's not just conditional love like the world. I love you as long as you don't goof up. I love you as long as you have money. I love you as long as you look good. When you stop looking good, I stop loving you. That's called conditional love. God's love is unconditional. I love you when nobody else understands you. I love you because I believe what you can be with me in your life. You see, when God chose us, he might have found us when we were in pretty rough shape. I know when I was saved at 17, I was in pretty bad shape. I had huge blind spots in my life, and I was fooling a lot of people. At least I thought it was, but I wasn't fooling God. But God found me, and he had patience with me, and lovingly embraced me, and showed me what his heart was like, and what his purpose was for my life, showed me that he had a destiny and a plan for my life that blew my mind. Hallelujah! God has a plan for your life that is exceedingly, abundantly above all you can ask or even imagine. And the things of this world are pale by comparison to what God has in store for those who love him. But it's got to be in relationships. One life supporting another, looking out for each other, to help each other grow healthy, wise, and mature. It could be a dad or a mom, a friend, a mentor, a pastor, a teacher, a spiritual big brother or a spiritual big sister. We all need one in our life, and we all should be one to somebody else. We all need a mentor or spiritual role models in our life, no matter how old you may be. As you know, I've crossed a certain decade in my life. Starts with the number 7. And the rest you can figure out. But I still look up to certain men and women of God. I read their material. I call people for help. I ask people for prayer. God's not done with me yet. And so I still am being mentored by God. And I want to mentor others. I meet with young men and young women and in situations and counseling and in teaching and, of course, through my preaching, to try to be an example so that I can impart what I've learned about Jesus into their life. We all need to be accountable. We all need to be under the influence of somebody who's a little bit further along than we are. Do you know anybody in your life who's further along spiritually than you are? All right, well then emulate their life. Let them be an example to you. Let them be a big brother, a big sister. And at the same time, we have to be receptive to that. Unfortunately, there are a lot of people who don't want anybody telling them what to do. One of the conditions of growing in maturity spiritually is you have to be teachable. Hello. You've got to be teachable. If you're not teachable, you've stopped learning. And if you stop learning, you start dying. Ecclesiastes 4, 9 and 10. Two people are better than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can help, reach out and help. But someone who falls who is alone is in real trouble. Pity the man who is alone. Pity the woman who is alone. I don't want anybody. I don't need anybody's help. I'm a self-made person. Dear Lord, have mercy. Ecclesiastes 4:12. A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back. Who's got your back? Three are even better, for a threefold cord is not easily broken. Healthy, mutually beneficial relationships have been God's plan from the very beginning. When you look at how God has ordained his kingdom to come and his will to be done, how does that happen? You recite the Lord's Prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. How does that happen? How is God's kingdom coming? How is his will being done on earth? It's being done through the family of God. It's being done through loving relationships, people loving with the love of God, the heart of the kingdom, which is the love of God, and showing the world that there's a different way. There's a different way to live. We don't have to have revenge. We don't have to blow our cool. We don't have to be jealous. We don't have to keep a record of wrongs. We don't have to have an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. We can live a different way. We can be the people of the kingdom of God. The people of heaven are here right now on earth. Hallelujah. Turn to your neighbor and say, we are the people of heaven. We are the people. We've got to be different. We've got to be different. Because the world is looking for an example of what God's people look like. What is their attitude? How do they react? Do they see that you're different? You know, when they treat other people a certain way, they know they're going to get a certain pushback. But you, there's something different. You seem to have more tolerance. You seem to be more forgiving. You seem to be more kind. You're not a gotcha kind of person looking to, mess somebody up or to trip somebody up. Relationships are the basic building block of the kingdom of heaven. When Jesus began his ministry in Mark chapter 1, he said one of the first sermons he ever preached was, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. And then he called 12 men to be with him. That's how he started. And from those 12, you know the story, there were 70. And then from the 70, there were 120 in the upper room. The 120 became 3,000. The 3,000 became 5,000. And now there are something like 3 billion Christians on the earth. Somebody say amen. Amen. This is the kingdom of God in action. And when they tried to persecute them, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the Sanhedrin, try to intimidate them. How many of you know the world will try to intimidate you to shut up, to shut you up, to shut you down? And Peter stood up and said, we must obey God rather than men. I'm sorry. But we've got to obey God. And it says that the religious leaders were astonished and took note of them that they had been with Jesus. These people are different. They have been with Jesus. You better be careful. Gamaliel stood up. Be careful what you do with these guys. Because if what they have is for real, you won't be able to stop them. Hallelujah! The devil can't stop God's holy purpose. Brother Angel read it before in Psalm 33. The plans of the Lord stand firm forever. The purposes of his heart to every generation. You are God's purpose in this generation. You. Turn to your neighbor and say, you are God's purpose in this generation. Turn to your other neighbor. You are God's purpose in this generation. It is not through angels that God chose to reach the world. He could have chosen angels. How many of you think angels would have been a lot better than us? I think about that and say, God, are you sure you want me? You do a lot of work, Lord. You're still doing a lot of work on me. It was not through angels but through people who are in love with God, who through the Holy Spirit have the flavor, have the anointing, have a touch of heaven in their life. You're not just a natural person, you are supernatural. Because you are spiritual. You are a spiritual person. Because you have the Spirit in you, you're able to live the way Jesus lived. You're able to bring glory to Him. You're able to demonstrate to the world what Jesus looks like, how He sounds, how He feels, His heart, His hearing, His love. How well we follow this mandate in godly, loving relationships will determine how far the kingdom of God advances. Now, this is potent stuff this morning. I hope you're getting this. I want to say this again. How well we follow the biblical mandate in godly relationships, both being one, receiving, being mature, and becoming more mature, and then helping others to do the same. You see how it works? So you're receiving from others to help you become more mature. Your heart is tender, teachable, willing to keep growing. And then everything you learn and the love you're experiencing and the goodness you're experiencing with God, you're quick to pass on. Hey, guess what I learned this week about the Lord? I went through something, but God showed me this. And if He did it for me, He'll do it for you too. Hallelujah. Be strengthened, my brother. Be lifted up. Lift up your countenance. God has never failed. You can pass it on. How we live, this kingdom living, will determine the destiny and the reach of the kingdom of heaven. How far it goes depends on how much we get this. Love through relationships, extending the kingdom of God. It's one of the greatest needs in our generation. I was looking at some of the statistics. I know my wife quoted some of these at the conference, at the women's conference, about our younger generation. Josh McDowell wrote in his book called the ominous title, The Last Christian Generation. God forbid, let that never be so. But I guess it's a warning. 63% of teenage Christians do not believe that Jesus is the Son of the one true God. 63%. This is a recent survey. 51% of teenagers do not believe that Jesus literally rose from the dead. 68% of our young people, this is in churches, don't believe that the Holy Spirit is a real entity. Only 33% of teens said that the church will play a part in their lives once they leave home. Okay, 33%. Subtract 33 from 100, what does that leave? 67? 67% of our teens, our young people, are thinking, well, once I'm 18, I'm out of here. I don't know if this alarms you, but this is breaking my heart. And I'm almost like beside myself knowing what to do. I've been praying my heart out. Because my wife and I started in ministry as youth pastors. And I was only 19 years old. And only had a lot of God's mercy because I didn't know what I was doing. But I am so glad to say that there were so many young people now. They're their fathers, mothers, grandparents even. And they keep in touch with us. And say, Pastor Dave, Pastor Angela, thank you for doing your best and being a light. I don't know if it was the greatest sermons or the greatest, you know, events that we had or whatever, but somehow my life has helped other people to stay true to God. And that matters to me. That matters to me. In America, the very foundations of God's truth are being shaken and being attacked. I hope this message really causes you to sit up and be alarmed. Our truth, our values are under attack. The sanctity of marriage, religious freedom. People are now in college, on college universities, people can lose their job for saying or even reading the Bible out loud because the radical secularists believe that this is hate speech. They believe the Bible is hate speech. How far have we come? Is America in trouble? Yes. The prophet Isaiah said, our courts oppose the righteous, and justice is nowhere to be found. Truth stumbles in the street, and honesty has been outlawed. If that's not a commentary on the day we're living in, I don't know what is. I'm going to read it again. Our courts oppose the righteous, and justice is nowhere to be found. Truth stumbles in the streets, and honesty has been outlawed. Yes, truth is gone. And I like, look at this part. This was written 700 years before Christ. And anyone who renounces evil is attacked. If you take a stand against evil, you get attacked in our world. And should it be the other way around? Shouldn't the bad people be the one who's getting attacked? Our faith is passed from one person to the next and must not be taken for granted. In the history of Israel, as many of you know, it only took one generation after Joshua passed away for the people of Israel to lose their trust in God. It says the Joshua who the generation that arose after Joshua and the elders who outlived Joshua did not know the Lord, neither the mighty works that he had done. We need to tell our young people about the mighty works of God. We need to tell, this is not about attendance at church, about religion. It's not about, you know, crossing your T's and dotting. It's about life itself. It's about why you were born. It's about why you're here on earth. Because God has a purpose. God has a claim. He put his first breath in you. You owe your life, not only our physical life, but we owe our eternal life to him. Somebody say amen. Because he took away our sins. I want to close with this morning. Will you be that kingdom person who God can depend on to extend loving relationships, to be teachable? Maybe you're sitting here and maybe for the first time you're asking yourself the question, am I really a teachable person? Or do I feel like, you know, I've got it all figured out and I don't need anybody to, you know, get up in my face. I don't need anybody to be accountable to because I've got this. I'm not saying, I'm not, you know, thinking of anyone in particular, but it's a good question to ask. Can we still be teachable at 40, 50, 60, 70 years old? Yes, 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 yes. We need to keep growing in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And how do we grow? We grow from other people, learning from, I'm not saying to open your life to every person that comes along. But find somebody who's a spiritual leader, somebody who's mature in the faith and grow. There's so many good Christian books and so many articles online you could read about how to grow as a Christian. So in order to reach this generation, who is going to take action today? This is the closing thought. It's going to take somebody who will care and somebody who will take action. And our actions should be intentional. You can't say, well, if God wants to bring some relationships in my life, that's up to him. I'm just going to sit here. I'm going to sit here and wait, you know, and right on this mat. You know, I'm going to lay on this mat and just lick my wounds. And, you know, if Sister So-and-so wants to reach out to me, she can pick up the phone and call me. But how about you reaching out to somebody else? Where is the love of God? Where's the love of God? He loved us more than he loved himself. Hallelujah. You can't change the past, but you do have a choice about your future. You can be the kind of person who takes action and doesn't live an accidental Christian life. An accidental Christian life. Oh, wow, it was good. I got blessed this week. What's your plan? What is your You know, what is your intention to grow? What goals do you have? What obedience will you show to God? Where will you grow from the Word of God? How will you put it into practice? You know the story about the two men who built the house, one on the sand and one on the rock. The person who built the house on the sand, a flood came along and knocked the house down. Why? Because it's like a person who hears the Word of God but doesn't do it. Pastor, that was a fine sermon. Pastor, I think you were getting deep today. Deep. That was deep. Did you understand what I meant? No, not really, but it was deep. Are you going to put any of it to practice? No, not really. But it sounded really good. That was a good one. You hit a home run, Pastor. Only time I hit a home run is when we get it and we put it into practice. Then I hit a home run. Come on. Give God praise. Will you make a decision today to take responsibility for the relationships in your life? To the extent that you can. Now, this is important that you get this. You cannot control when people act weird and stupid. You can't control other people. You can pray for them. You can hope for the best. You could try to love them. You could reach out to them. But it's not your fault. Like that woman said to Tommy, if somebody else is acting crazy and you can't change them, that's not your fault. But you do have a responsibility to keep growing and being the best Christian that you could be. I've done marriage counseling for years. And I had one couple for a long time. I guess it was probably over a year. And every time we would meet with them, this was back in Staten Island, so don't anybody worry. It's nobody here. We would start out okay, but within a few minutes, they were at each other's throat again. And, you know, I really got to the point, was like really exasperated. In one session, you know, the Lord just gave me a revelation. This is deep. Everybody say, this is deep. Are you ready for this? No extra charge for this right here. I threw my hands up in the air and I stood up and I said, listen, stop it. God just spoke to me and gave me the answer for the two of you. Like they were like raccoons in the headlights of an oncoming car. I've got the answer. And they looked at me frightened. And I said, you, husband, you be a Christian. You, wife, be a Christian. That's it. And I turned around and walked out. Be a real Christian. The nature of a real Christian is to love. It's to forgive. Will you be someone, before you leave today, will you make a decision with me? Listen, folks, this is serious. Before we leave today, I'm asking you to make a decision that going forward, I'm going to love more deeply. I'm going to care more about the relationships in my life. I'm going to see relationships not as accidental, random, or incidental. I'm going to see relationships as the building blocks of the kingdom of heaven. Relationships are the building blocks of the kingdom of heaven. I want to be someone who loves deeply. The hardest words to say and the longest walk to walk is, I'm sorry. You've all heard my story. Pastor Angela's not here today. How many of you will give me 5 more minutes? 5 more minutes. All right, 5 more. I got 2 or 3. Okay, thank you, brother. I like this man. How many can I have? 20. All right. Do I hear 30? Do I hear 40? Come on. I was dating Pastor Angela. And believe it or not, I had a little bit of a stubborn side to me. Believe it or not, I know it's shocking. My daughter's here today. Hi, Lori. And I was a little bit prideful. I know this comes as a shock. You know how nice I am right now. But we were at her mother and father's home. Her parents were pastors. And we got into this argument. And, you know, like Mr. Luigi, I began to lose my temperature. Luigi, don't lose your temperature. And I got so mad, I stormed out of the house. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, this was a long time ago, I think we were just about to get engaged. And I was so angry, so insulted. I felt like I was being falsely treated, abused, misunderstood. You know, when you get your feelings hurt. How many of you really ever had your feelings hurt? I mean, really bad. Really bad. My feelings were like raw. It was like somebody stepped on my feeling, my heart. And the door closed behind me, and I said, that's it. This is over. I'm done. I sat in my car, but I couldn't turn the ignition on. I was frozen. And the Lord began to speak to me the way he does, New York style. Stupid, what are you doing? You're ruining your life. You've got a good thing here. You've got a wonderful girl. Beautiful. Her parents are beautiful people. Why are you letting this destroy you? Why are you letting the devil win? That'll stop an argument. Next time you're ready to argue, why are you letting the devil win? I sat there for probably about 20 minutes. My life was in the balance. I was like, 20 years old? Should I go? Should I not go? Should I go? Should I not go? Finally, by the grace of God, God sort of grabbed me by the collar. I began to slowly walk back up the walk. Slowly I stepped, slowly. Knocked on the door very gently. Oh, hi, Pastor Moriello. Can I come back in? That saved my marriage. That act of humility was very hard. All of you macho men like me who have these big muscles, it's really tough to say we're sorry. The hardest words, the longest distance you will ever have to go is to say, I'm sorry. Or maybe I forgive you. Maybe somebody has really hurt you, really. And you need to say, I forgive you. Give them the same grace that you want to receive. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Right? And I'll close with this. This is another paraphrase, so it's not on the screen, but it's from the love chapter. Love is incredibly patient. Love is gentle and consistently kind to others. Love, and this is, we're talking about God's love. So everywhere you see the word love here, you could say God's love. Yes, let me start again. God's love. And this is the kind of love that builds the kingdom. You got it? Did you get it today? It's the love of God is the heart of the kingdom. And the heart of the kingdom is expressed through loving relationships that build and bring the influence of Christ to a broken world. But that won't happen without God's love. And I've often been at a place in my life where only a deeper measure of love saved me. Both God's love for me, loving me more deeply, showing me his love, and then because of that impact, me in turn loving and forgiving others deeper. God's love is incredibly patient. God's love is gentle and consistently kind to others. It refuses to be jealous when blessings come to somebody else. You ever feel like you were overlooked? Everybody else is getting blessed. What's wrong with me? God's love does not brag about one's achievements, nor inflate its own importance. How many of you know what it's like to be around insecure people? It's not like 60 seconds and they're already telling you about all the stuff they've done. And no matter what you say to them, they've done one up. You know, they've done one better. You know, I just bought a car. Oh, yeah, what did you buy? Well, I bought such a, well, I bought a Cadillac. You know, I bought a Jaguar. I bought a Mercedes, whatever. Love does not traffic in shame and disrespect, nor selfishly seek its own honor. God's love is not easily irritated or quick to take offense. Like, you know, Brother Porcupine. You can, he has many fine points, but you can't go near him. Sister Sandpaper, you know who I'm talking about. God's love joyfully celebrates honesty and does not rejoice in what is wrong. Well, that's what they deserve. I knew that was going to happen to them. Watch this. God's love is a safe place of shelter, for it never stops believing in the best for others, never stops hoping, and it keeps on enduring, and it never fails. God's love never fails. Somebody say amen. Let's stand together. Give God a praise. Give God a praise. Give God the praise. Give him honor. Give him glory. For this is the word of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. This is not my word. The Holy Spirit helped me to deliver this word today. I give you all the glory, Lord. I honor you. I praise you, Father. Let it be driven home in our hearts, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 A deeper work of love is needed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's just wait on God for a second. Let's allow the Holy Spirit to take this message home to our hearts. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Father God. Speak to every heart in this room, Lord. Help us to remember this message, Lord, to realize, Lord, that relationships, godly relationships, are meant to be in our life. And they are the means through which we grow and we help others to grow. But Lord, sometimes we don't love as much as we ought to. Sometimes we get weary and we are discouraged. I want you to, while every head is bowed, every eye closed, I want to be honest with God today. Please, nobody looking around. How many of you can honestly say, sometimes, Lord, I don't get this relationship thing right, and I need more of your help in my relationship? Would you put your hand up? I need more of your help, God, in this whole relationship thing. I need this, God. I need this. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, O my soul, rejoice. Take joy, my King, take joy, my King. In what you hear, in what you hear, let it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. We're going to sing this again, but I want you to come, and you don't have to come automatically, but if you feel, honestly today, you're not ashamed to say, God, I need more of your love in my life, Lord. I need to heal of something. I need God to let go of something. I just need more of your spirit, Lord. I need you to manifest your love in my heart. Would you come forward as we sing this one more time? If that's you today, would you please come forward? I need more of your love, Lord. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice. Hallelujah. Worship you, O my soul. Take joy. Take joy, my King, in what you hear. Let it be a sweet in your ear. Hallelujah. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, O my soul. Rejoice, take joy, my King, in what you hear. Let it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. Hallelujah. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Put your hand on your heart right now. Thou art the potter, and I am the clay. Mold me and make me. Mold me and make me after thy will. After thy will. While I am waiting. While I am waiting. Yielded and still. Have thine own way. Come on, do you mean it this morning? Would you reach out to Jesus? Hallelujah. Just express your love for God. Express your desire. Potter, and I am. Hallelujah, Jesus. Mold me and make me after thy will, while I am waiting, yielded. God can do more for you in 30 seconds than hours and months of worrying and being stubborn and being callous. You know, the Pharisees said, we will not have this man rule over us. Oh, my friend, listen to me. I feel like the Holy Spirit is speaking right now. Don't make the mistake to isolate yourself from the shepherd of your soul. He's a good shepherd. Nobody loves me like you do, Jesus. Is there anybody who knows that today? I said, nobody loves me like Jesus does. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sometimes we shield ourselves from pain because we've been through so much pain. But at the same time, we're shielding ourselves from God. God wants to restore your heart today. He wants to put in you a tender heart again. A tender heart. Anybody know what I'm talking about today? Does anybody know what I'm talking about? I need to get the junk out of my heart. I need to get the worry, the callousness, the hurt, the resentment. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. I surrender all. Oh, hallelujah. All to thee, my blessed Savior. Would you make a fresh surrender of your life to the Lord right now? I surrender. Give it to Him right now. I surrender all. Hallelujah. All to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior. All to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Would you praise Him, praise Him, praise Him. God's doing miracles today. He's doing some miracles right now. Somebody's getting a new heart. Somebody's getting a heart transplant. Woo, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody's getting forgiveness today. Somebody's getting more love. Hallelujah. Somebody's having their eyes, their vision washed by the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Plead the blood of Jesus right now. The blood of Jesus. We plead the blood of Jesus right now. The blood of Jesus, wash over me. Blood of Jesus, cleanse me. Holy Spirit, give me a new heart. Holy Spirit, give me a new mind. Help me to see differently, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, let's say this prayer out loud together. Lord Jesus, we recognize today that loving God-ordained relationships are the way you build your kingdom. And love must be the heart of those relationships. Not just my love, because my love falls short. So I'm asking you, God, help me to experience your love in a deeper way. First of all, to know how much you love me more than I can ever imagine. May I experience your love for me first. And then out of that wonderful miracle, help me to love others because I see your love. I feel it. I experience it. I know it's real, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I release those who have hurt me. Help me to release, oh God, anybody who I've hurt. Forgive me, Lord, for hurting others. In Jesus' name. All to Thee, my blessed Savior. All to Thee, my blessed Savior. One more time. All to Thee. All to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. Reverend John, come on up here for a second. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I want you to just bless us out with a prayer, brother.
Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Lord, we need you every minute, every second, and every hour. We thank you, Pastor. We prayed for this in group yesterday. We prayed for this. Thank you, God. Now, God, we thank you. We ask that you keep us as we go day from day. Bless our families. Bless our enemies, God. Bless our enemies up and out of our lives, God. Thank you, God. God, you're awesome, God, and you do awesome things. You have some awesome people in this congregation. Continue to keep us, grow us closer to your will for our lives. And God, we be careful to give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we pray. All hearts, amen, amen, and amen.